a dynamic relationship with Jesus Christ to fight sin. Let me say, first of all, I won't talk about this much, but I do recommend that book by Heath Lambert, Find Me Free. And the chapter I read there was this same topic, using a dynamic relationship with Jesus to fight sin. And I'm just going to say that I knew everything he was saying, but it hit me with a new impact. And what he was really saying is this, thinking particularly about pornography, if we just try to fight pornography, that won't get the job done. What will get the job done is falling in love with Jesus Christ. And that's been said already up here in many different ways. If you fall in love with Christ, pornography and other sins are just going to kind of be dropping off. So that's really what that chapter, it hit me with a new impact. Because, you know, too often, we preachers are probably worse than others about this. We study the Bible all the time, which we should, but it can't become theology divorced from Jesus Christ. We got to remember, we serve the person and the work of Christ. So it's a personal relationship. The Bible has got to lead us to a personal relationship. It can't just be some abstract thing. We got to pray about that, because the devil could deceive us into thinking if we know the scriptures, if they're not impacting us, we're doing okay. That's not true. We got to be both hearers and doers of the word. It's got to affect our heart. Now, I want to talk about this. You know, sometimes the best defense is a good offense. I think that's true in this particular case. If we're engaging in godly activities, we're not going to have as much time and opportunity to live in habitual sin. Now, let's go to Colossians. I want you to think about Colossians 3. This is one of the best chapters in the Bible. I love the whole Bible. Colossians 3 is one of my favorite chapters. I'm going to read to you, first of all, verse 5. But I've got a point in this. I'm going to go back to verse 1 in a minute, but I've got a point. And what I'm talking about now is the best defense is a good offense. Let's look at the defense first of all, however. He says, mortify, therefore, this is Colossians 3, 5. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. That's a class of sins. The word translated mortify is nekrao, and we get obviously the word, it means to dead, to be put to death. That's a strong word. Mortify, that's a really strong word there, put to death. That's enlightening something to notice here too. Look at these sins here targeted. The first one is fornication. As Mike, I think Stuart pointed out, that word porneo in the Greek, which we get the word pornography from, it just means illicit sex. It's a really big word. It talks about pornography, homosexuality, adultery, you name it. It's a real broad, encompassing word. And this word's used 26 times in the New Testament. That tells me something. If you'll read Romans 1 and read here Colossians chapter 3, read in other places in Ephesians chapter 5, that's almost the first word named when God did a list of sin. You got, listen, brothers, I want to say this kind of loud, okay? Let me say it kind of loud, can I? God hates sexual sin. Let me say it again. We live in a sin-saturated culture. Listen, it's not a recreational pleasure. God Almighty hates sexual sin. We got a culture embracing that. When marriage is on the attack, and we have a floodgate of all kinds of things coming in our country, we men got to realize God hates sexual sin. We got to fight against it. So that's what I'm going to say about that. But how are we going to fight this fight? Let's go back to verse 1. This thrills my soul. It's an offense. Look in verse 1 through 4. This is some of the best language in the Bible. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Then, therefore, mortify, therefore. See what I'm saying? If you don't do what's in verses 1 through 4, you cannot do what's in verse 5. You got to fall in love with Jesus Christ and be heavenly minded. If you're heavenly minded, you can fight sin. Now, how do we do this? I don't have it 25 minutes, so I'm going to tell you what I think. How do we do this? And we've had this said several times during this conference. And by the way, I'm very encouraged. I'm probably the oldest preacher here. I'm gratified to God for the good young ministers that God is raising up. Aren't y'all? And may God empower them and raise other godly ministers up. I'm encouraged that the state of the church has such godly, able men he's raising up among his people. Now, the only way we're going to be able to have our minds above it is we've got to be saturated with the scriptures. We've got to be constantly in God's word. Our minds have to be absolutely filled with the word of God. We cannot. It's impossible to maintain a dynamic relationship with Jesus Christ if you're not saturated daily with the Word of God. I'm going to give you some scripture to teach this. I really would like to hammer this in. And I'm going to give you some practical things I try to do. Let's look at some scriptures. I love what we had. Everything's been good. I love what Lewis and Cron did about studying the Word of God. There's all kind of good stuff we've had here. Let's look at some scriptures that teach this. Psalm 1:2. His delight is the law of the Lord, and His law that He meditate day and night. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sensitive milk of the Word, you may grow thereby. Matthew 4:4. All these have been mentioned. Our Savior answered the devil. He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word proceeded out of the mouth of God. Job 23:12, a man going through great suffering. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips, I have esteemed the word of his mouth and more than my necessary food. Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart, I might not sin against thee. And finally, one of my favorites, Colossians 3:16. This is a powerful scripture. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and scriptural songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. We've got to be saturated with God's word. Now, I'm going to talk about some practicality. How do we do that? Well, by reading the Bible. That's all I'm going to say about that. We need to be in the Bible. I like what Lewis DeCron said about that. If you're not reading your Bible, then get to reading it, okay? But now we'll talk about memorizing. I'm going to spend my time talking about memorizing. People who know me know I've emphasized this for most of my ministry. And I'm glad God made me average. I wish I was smarter in a way, but I know God had a reason in making me average. Here's why I say that. If I can memorize, anybody can memorize. I'm not like David Powell. I can't read something and just say it all the time. I wish I could. I'm kind of jealous of David and Sonny. They got photographic memories. I don't. Memorizing comes hard with me, but I have been diligent, but I've not been as diligent as I wish I had. I charge you young men. I think Luke's here today, and Carson, and you cotton pickers, don't get that book I gave y'all and start memorizing it. I'm going to pull yours off. I mean that. I got that for a reason, boys. You young men, get your minds going. Okay? Now, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you when you can memorize. Now, I memorized 26 minutes this morning. I got a stopwatch. I use this for motivation. When I was shaving and taking a bath this morning, I spent 26 minutes in Colossians chapter 2. You can memorize when you're shaving and bathing. I've got laminated cards. I will laminate for you. My kid bought me a laminate machine. And I've got a whole bunch of laminate because they're waterproof. You can do it in the bathtub. When you're making your bed, which I don't like to make the bed. I told you the other night that I learned how to make the bed, but I don't like it. So what I do, I memorize while I'm making it. And so I don't bore me so badly. So 8 minutes, the bed's made, and I memorize 8 minutes. When you're driving or riding down the road, you can memorize. When you're standing in line at the bank, instead of getting frustrated, go ahead and memorize. At recess and halftime at ball games. Ali told me he wanted me to succinctly like this. He said, Daddy, I remember many times at a ball game, watching your lips moving over there at halftime, he knew I had my little card in my pocket and I was trying to memorize. Now, I'm not telling you to do just what I'm doing. You can do something. Now, let me tell you about my experience. I decided one time to memorize a book of the Bible many years ago. So I memorized the Philippian letter. I love the Philippian letter. I've had a love affair with the Philippian letter. So I memorized Philippians. Now, let me tell you how you memorize. It's like if you're going to eat an elephant. Now, you may not like elephant. If you're going to eat an elephant, you eat it one bite at a time. When you memorize it, it's one verse at a time. And sometimes I got to say a verse over 100 times. I like to do it sometimes. You get on something like Colossians over there, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even if he enters the sins. You don't get tired of saying stuff like that. Anyway, so I memorized Philippians, and so I knew it well. So I just quit for a year or two, and one day I said, I'm going to say Philippians again. So I tried to say it. I panicked. I could not say it. I thought all that time wasted. The good news is, when I began to re-memorize it, it came back just like that. So I made up my mind, Lord, I'm going to get a system. When I memorize, I'm going to keep those scriptures on the front burner of my mind with a systematic way. Now, I'm not telling you to do what I'm doing. I'm just telling you what I've done. And I wish I'd done more. Now, I'm going to tell you what I do. I don't always do it, but I aim at it, and I usually do it. I've done pretty good this year. In January and April and July and October, I've got this in three sections. I memorized, and I know all these books. I'm not bragging either, because I've worked at it diligently. In January, I did Philippians, Ephesians, James, 1 Timothy, Jude, Psalm 19, Colossians, because that's my new thing I memorized last year. I'm going to say that every month. Psalm 139 and Isaiah chapter 12. That's a short chapter, but it's a great chapter. In February and May, August and November, I memorized Romans 1 and 8, Isaiah 53, 2 Timothy, Psalms 123, 51, 100, 103, 121, 126, 127, and 128. 2 Peter, which I'm kind of rough on 2 Peter. I've got to really put some time on that this year. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, John 13, 1 through 17, and the book of Colossians. Colossians comes every month. Then in March, June, September, December, is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, what I call old memory, which really is the five points of Calvinism. The church covenant, 1 Peter, 1 John, Psalm 34, Psalm 33, verses 6 through 9. And that's what I try to do. So you got to have some kind of system. But, you know, I'm serious about this, as you can probably tell. And I'm not bragging either. I wish I'd done more. I should have done a lot more. If you young men, listen, I read about the Walden Seas. These our forefathers. They didn't have Bibles like we have today. So they had a pulpit Bible. If they had a Bible, it's precious. They passed it around. So the preachers, we couldn't even get ordained today. If those preachers didn't have at least one of the Gospels memorized, practicing the book of Isaiah and all the scriptures, they wouldn't even ordain the guys. Brother, we got great memories that God gave us. We don't know how to use them today we live in. And when you memorize something, it's amazing what God will do. The Holy Ghost will bring scriptures together in your mind. And the scriptures start falling, like that puddle Luke talked about. The doctrines start falling into place. It's wonderful. The Holy Spirit will take the Word of God and bring it to your mind in wonderful ways. Now, let me talk about this also. Oh, yeah, I want to say something too. I never will forget Brother V.J. Lawrence was a great man of God out in Texas, and he had a photographic memory. I mean, a big-time photographic memory. I've never seen anything like that in my life. Maybe C.E. Smith was just as good. But anyway, one time Brother Lawrence came to our little school we had, the Grace Christian School, and we had kids memorizing Scripture. And so one year, our kids memorized the Ephesian letter. And so Brother Lawrence came by for a visit. And I wanted him to give a devotional to the young people. I said, Brother Lawrence, I want you to hear these kids say Ephesians. And they began to quote Ephesians. That old man began to weep. Those tears came down his face. And when he gave up to give an address, he said, kids, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. He said, not long ago, I had open heart surgery. When they took me on a gurney back to the operating room to open my chest up, knew I might not wake off that table, he said, the money in the bank I had, I didn't even think about it. I did not think about my insurance policy. But he said, what I did think about was the word of God Almighty I had stored in my heart that God brought to my mind at a time of need. My father-in-law, Tony Machiavelli, was a great man of God. He was in a veterans hospital in Memphis, Tennessee, in intensive care. He said, turn that television off. It's interfering with my devotions. And my father-in-law died memorizing Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forgetting all his benefits. I'd like to die the same way, wouldn't you? My friend the Apostle Paul, in the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy, the last letter he wrote, he's in a Mamertine prison, fixing to die a martyr's death. He said, bring me the books and bring me the parchments. Hallelujah. Hessel Wallace, who pastored Grace Chapel Church, my father in the ministry, lost his voice, could not even speak very much anymore. But when I went to his house, Paul, Brother Hassel still had his Bibles, his dictionaries, and his books on the table, studying the Word of God till he died. You need to be saturated with the Word of God. Now let me talk to you about how God Almighty, if you have it stored in your mind, can bring passages that you need to you when you need it. So the psalm I give on this is a verse of a great prayer here in Psalm 119, verse 50. Think about this psalm. It's a great, I'm going to give you some illustrations of this. Psalm 119, verse 50. David said, this is my comfort and my affliction. Thy word has quickened me. That word quickened there means revive. Let me tell you some times God had revived me with his word. He'll do you the same way. Many of you can tell experiences. One time Bobby Poe asked me, would you come help me start a new church in East Memphis? And that's Grace Chapel where I pastor today. I'm a member of Whitehaven Church. I was happy as I could be. I didn't want to leave there, but I said, Brother Bobby, I'll pray about it. So I went to Pine Hill for a meeting. And Avery Land was preaching. Avery Land was a shotgun preacher. Now, he's a good shotgun preacher. There's some bad ones and some good ones. And you can be a good shotgun preacher. I don't recommend shotgun preaching, but if you're going to do it like Avery did. He very rarely took a text. But I went down to Pine Hill this meeting, and when I got down there, brothers and sisters, Brother Avery said, I've got a text on my mind tonight. And here's what he quoted from Romans 15:20. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. And I almost walked, I didn't hardly listen to the rest of the sermon. God spoke to me. Yes, you go help Bobby Pope preach in a place where the gospel had not been preached. And I know I did the right thing. God spoke to me through his holy word. One time, I was very spiritually cold. I'll never forget this. I was batching it. And I don't like to wash dishes. And I let them lay up for sometimes 2 or 3 weeks till the mold got on. So I'm washing these old dishes, not having a good time at all, down low spiritually. And all of a sudden, the thought came to me, why don't you memorize the Roman letter? And you know what I did? I went and got my Bible and pressed it up on that sink there and began to memorize Romans. And that, Jerry, made me start going back up again, just the very fact I had that thought. So I didn't get the whole thing memorized. I got chapter 1 and chapter 8 and some other verses. But just doing something. Start doing something. Positive. If you've got to be invited, it'll revitalize you. And that turned my life around at that time. One time, I used to live at Clanton, Kentucky, because the Lord used me to start a church there one time. And so I was fiercely cold. I hate to admit that, but these preachers had admitted we were all sinners. And Judy was gone back to Memphis to see her folks. And so I just was miserable. I wasn't in fellowship with God, even though I was a pastor. I was lying there in bed, and I didn't know what I was going to do. I never feel the power of God again, I thought. And the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the blessed Holy Spirit brought a verse to my mind. Here's what it was. Hebrews 4:15-16. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with any of our infirmities, but is at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I've jumped out of bed. I still remember that cold, cheap linoleum rug we had there in the wintertime. I hit my knees, and brother, about an hour later I got up there, and the dam had been broken. I'm back in fellowship with God. The Word of God did that. The Holy Ghost brought to my mind. I was praying about going to India after 9-1-1 happened. Jeff Harrison, I was supposed to go to India, but then 9-1-1 happened, and a lot of people said, don't go. Some people said, go. Some people said, don't go. We didn't know what to do. I prayed about it. I'm down at Flint River, Primitive Baptist Church. David Powell is preaching. I'm on the front bench. I'm pretty sleepy because we stayed up that night before talking too much. Anyway, all of a sudden, David Powell never does this. He left his text, Ed. He left his text. And he read this text from Acts chapter 18. Now, I'm thinking, shall I go or not? Don't tell me God doesn't answer your prayers in the preaching of the gospel. You just don't listen good enough. We're sometimes he's talking to a tape, we're not listening to him. We ought to go to church alert, my friend, listen to what God's speaking to us. So in Acts chapter 18, verse 9 and 10, here's what David read. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak. Hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee. I have much people in this city. I began to weep on the front bench at Flint River Church and went to India and got back safely. On that same trip, Jeff Harrison and I went there, and it was a scary time. You know, we had an airplane to ourselves. Although I had a private plane. The Atlanta Airport, nobody's in the Atlanta Airport. Nobody's flying. So Jeff and I are going over there, and you know, I'm feeling kind of scared and all that kind of stuff, so I'm just reading my Bible on the plane. And God gave me the scripture from Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, I'm with thee, be not dismayed, for I'm thy God, I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That verse sustained me on the entire trip. I even wrote down how many words were in there to make sure I said it right. I do it on my fingers, make sure I get every word right. All right. Okay, y'all listen to this? You bunch of sinners listen to me? I've got to admit something, boys. I'm ashamed of this, but I did it. I used to drink beer. I don't anymore. It's been a long time. I'm not as proud of that a bit. But I quit. I'm sitting in my office at Great Chapel one day after I'm a preacher, already a pastor. I got the biggest urge to get a can of beer. I was nervous. We had some kind of problem going on. I said, I'm going to go down to some part of town nobody knows me. I'm going to get me a 16-ounce can of Falstaff. I don't know whether they still make it or not. I panicked thinking about that. Good gracious, what am I going to do? I can't do this. I knew I was going to do it. I knew I was going to do it. You ever had an urge like that? You knew you were going to do it. I tried all my weapons. I tried to pray. It didn't do a bit of good. I tried to sing some song of praise. It didn't do a bit of good. But the blessed Holy Ghost saved my goose. The Holy Spirit brought this to my mind. Confess your faults one to another. Pray ye one for another that ye may be healed. I knew I had it on a downhill pull then, brother. I called Mike Rogers. Where you at, Mike? He's back there. You remember that, Mike? I called Mike Rogers. I knew I could trust him. I said, Mike, I'm in trouble. I said, I'm tempted to go and drink a beer, but I know I shouldn't do it. I said, I want you to pray for me and call me back in about an hour and see if I'm okay. And brother, I never did drink that kind of drinking old beer. But I'd have done it sure as I'm sitting here if God Almighty hadn't brought that to my mind. The Holy Ghost will help you. And I got an accountability partner, didn't I? I didn't know what one of those guys was back in those days. I just got one. Because God's word said, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, that you may be healed. And brother, that scripture worked in my life at that time. One final one, I'll be through. Saturate yourself with the word of God. That's how you fight sin. You get close to Jesus Christ through his holy word. That's the only way you can do it. One time I was in India, not the last time, but the time before last, I was in India, and all of a sudden, I'm driving along with Brother Gunn in this Jeep. I think I had to go to this trip, and Timothy both. And we were in this Jeep, going somewhere, and all of a sudden, the devil came in on me and showed me all my sins. I thought, Lord, have mercy on my soul. I can't preach anymore. I'm not kidding you. I can't tell you how bad I felt. I can't preach. What am I going to do? I got a cloud of darkness over me. I'm a sinner. I'll not even be here. And suddenly, the blessed Holy Ghost brought a verse to my mind. I did not even know where it was. But here's what that verse said. If thou shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who should stand? And Brother Jimmy, that broke the chain of the darkness on me. And so I went back to look at it later. It's over in Psalm 130, verse 3. I've read that before. If thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? And that saved me. Now, friends, listen, you get in the Word of God. Even if you don't feel like ready, get ready anyway. I heard a missionary one time speak. This is the last time I'm going to say, so listen to me. That a guy, he was making a speech in Canada. He had been a missionary in China back in 1949 when the Chinese communists took over. And they began to brainwash these Christian preachers to break them. If they broke one of them, they'd kill him. And so this man almost broke. He said, what saved me was that when I would almost break, some scripture would come to my mind. He said, a lot of times, there were scriptures I didn't even remember in the Bible. But he said, I remember later on what happened was, even against my will when I was a boy, my mother made me read the Bible. So, brother, and then he began to just shout in the sermon. He said, read your Bibles, read your Bibles, read your Bibles. Even if you don't feel like reading your Bibles, read your Bibles. It's getting into your soul, my dear friend. And the glory of the Holy Ghost will bring it out of you when you need it. Saturate your mind with the Word of God. That's how you fellowship Jesus Christ. That's your offensive weapon. Then the good offense is the best defense.